The case is similar when the internal man flows in through the interior or middle man into the exterior man. For it then likewise appropriates the exterior man to itself and makes it its own. But yet the exterior man is distinct from the interior man. So now, when the internal man perceived in the interior or middle man that the state of the external man was such, namely, that the external man was made captive, that is, that not genuine but apparent goods and truths had taken possession of it, from which it had fought against so many enemies, it then flowed in and reduced all things to order, and liberated it from the things which infested it, and thus purified it. That is to say, so that its goods and truths were not apparent, but genuine goods and truths, and were thus conjoined with the internal or divine man. And this, as before said, by means of the interior or middle man. In this, the Lord was not like any man, for his interior man as to celestial things or goods was divine, and was adjoined to his internal man even from birth. His internal man, together with this interior man, was Yahuwah himself, his Father. But he was similar to other men in this, that his interior man, as to spiritual things or truths, had been adjoined to his external man, and thus was human. But this also was made divine, that is, Yahuwah, by means of combats of temptations and continual victories from its own power. The external man is what is called Lot. In the former state, however, this is called Abram's brother's son, but in this, Abram's brother. For it was called his brother's son when possessed by apparent goods and truths, but his brother when possessed by genuine goods and truths. 1708. And he hastened his trained men that were born in his house. That this signifies these goods and truths in the external man, which were now delivered from the yoke of servitude, is evident from the signification of the trained men, as also of those born in Abram's house. Abram's trained men, or novitiates, in the internal sense, are those goods in the external man which can be conjoined with the interior man. Those born in the house in the internal sense are the same goods and also truths as being proper to that man. But these things contain more arcana than can be told. In the first place, these, how after the combats of temptations, apparent goods became genuine goods, and that they can then be conjoined with the interior or middle man, and through this with the internal man, and be made in like manner divine. For the Lord adjoined his human essence to his divine essence by degrees, and this by means of combats of temptations and victories, as before said. These goods that were made genuine are what are called Abram's trained men, or novitiates. For these goods were trained, and were novitiates. And as they were procured by his own power, they are called those born in his house. 1709. 318 men. That this signifies their quality, namely, that they are the holy things of combat, is involved in the number 18, and also in the number 300. For these numbers are composed of 3 and 6. 3 signifies what is holy, as shown, number 720, 901, and 6, combat, as shown, number 737, 900. That Abram hastened so many is an historical truth, but still it was representative, as is all the history in the word in the 5 books of Moses, in Joshua, in Judges, in Samuel, in the Kings, in Daniel, and in Jonah, where the numbers in like manner involve arcana. For nothing has been written in the Word which was not of this nature. Otherwise it would not be the Word, and otherwise it would not have been related that Abram hastened 318, and also that these were trained and born in his house, besides many other things which are said in this chapter. 1710. And pursued even to Dan. That this signifies a state of purification is evident from the connection of the things in the internal sense. To pursue the enemies is here to expel the evils and falsities which were with the goods and truths, and that caused them to merely appear to be goods and truths, and thus to liberate and purify them. Even to Dan signifies to the farthest limit of Canaan, thus to the uttermost boundaries whither they had fled. That Dan signifies the farthest limits or the extreme boundaries of Canaan is evident in many places in the Word, as in Samuel. To transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba. Second book of Samuel 3, verse 10. Again, in gathering, all Israel shall be gathered together, from Dan even to Beersheba. Second book of Samuel 17, verse 11. Again, David said to Joab, go now to and fro through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba. Second book of Samuel 24, verses 2 and 15. In the book of Kings, Judah and Israel dwelt in safety, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba. First book of Kings 4, verse 25. From these passages it is evident that Dan was the farthest boundary of Canaan, whither the enemies were pursued, which infested the goods and truths of the external man. But as Dan was a boundary of Canaan, and therefore within Canaan, lest they should stay there, they were driven further, namely to Hobah on the left of Damascus, as is evident from the things stated in the verse next following, and in this way purification was effected. By the land of Canaan, in a holy sense, as before said, it is signified the Lord's kingdom, thus the celestial of love, or good, principally the good with the Lord. 1711, verse 15. And he divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. He divided himself against them by night, signifies the shade in which the apparent goods and truths were. He and his servants signifies the rational man, and the things in the external man which obeyed, and smote them, signifies vindication, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus, signifies as far as this extended. 1712. He divided himself against them by night. That this signifies the shade in which the apparent goods and truths were is evident from the signification of night as being a state of shade. There is said to be a state of shade when it is not known whether the good and truth are apparent or are genuine. When anyone is an apparent good and truth, he supposes them to be genuine good and truth, The evil and falsity that are in apparent good and truth are what cause the shade and make them appear genuine. Those who are in ignorance can know no otherwise than that the good which they do is their own, and that the truth which they think is their own. And it is the same with those who attribute to themselves the good things they do and place merit in them, not knowing that in this case they are not good, although they appear so, and that the proprium and self-merit which they place in them are the evils and falsities which obscure and darken. So in many other cases. The kind and the measure of the evil and falsity which lie concealed in them cannot possibly be so well seen in the life of the body as in the other life, where they are presented to view as in clear light. But the case is different if this is done from ignorance that is not confirmed, for in this case those evils and falsities are easily dispersed. But if men confirm themselves in the belief that they can do good and resist evil by their own powers, and that they thus merit salvation, in this case this idea remains attached and causes the good to be evil and the truth to be falsity. But still it is according to order for a man to do good as of himself, and therefore he ought not to slacken his hand with the thought, if I can do nothing of good from myself, I ought to wait for immediate influx, and thus remain in a passive state, for this would be contrary to order. But he must do good as of himself. Yet when he reflects upon the good which he does or has done, let him think, acknowledge, and believe that the Lord has done the work in him. If he slackens his effort, thinking, as has been said, he is then not a subject into which the Lord can operate. The Lord cannot flow into anyone who deprives himself of everything into which power can be infused. It is as if one were not willing to learn anything without a revelation to himself, or as if one would teach nothing unless the words were put into him, or as if one would attempt nothing unless he were put into action as one without will. But if these things were done, he would be still more indignant at being like an inanimate thing, when yet that which is animated by the Lord in a man is that which appears as if it were from himself. It is thus an eternal truth that a man does not live from himself, but that if he did not appear to live from himself, he could not live at all. He and his servants. That this signifies the rational man and the things in the external man which obeyed is evident from the signification of he, that is, of Abram, as being the interior man, explained above, and from the signification of servants as being the things which obey. All the things that are in the external man before it has been liberated and vindicated are called servants, for they do nothing but render obedience to the interior man. For example, in the exterior man there are affections and scientifics. The former are from the goods of the interior man, and the latter are from the truths of the same. When these are made to act so that they accord with the interior man, they are said to serve and obey. And therefore by servants, nothing else is here signified but those things in the external man which obeyed. 1714. And smote them. That this signifies vindication is evident from the connection, and without explanation. 1715. And pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. That this signifies as far as this extended is evident from the signification of Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. It is not known where Hobah was situated, as there is no further mention of it in the word. But Damascus was the principal city of Syria, as is evident from 2nd Book of Samuel 8, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah 7, verse 8. And by it is signified almost the same as by Syria, spoken of before, chapter 10, at verse 22. The farthest boundary of the land of Canaan, beyond Dan, is described as being Damascus, as in Amos. Ye have taken up Succoth your king, and Chion your images, the star of your gods which ye made to yourselves, and I will cause you to go away beyond Damascus. 5, verses 26 and 27. The boundary of the Holy Land, or of the Lord's kingdom, toward the north, is also called the boundary of Damascus. Ezekiel 47, verses 16 to 18, 48, verse 1. Here, where it is said that they were smitten and driven as far as Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus, there is signified the extent to which the apparent goods and truths were purified. But unless it is known what was the character of the apparent goods and truths, and by what means they were purified so as to be made genuine, it cannot be explained what is properly meant here by Hobah on the left of Damascus, except in a general way, that they were purified. 1716, verse 16. And he brought back all the substance, and also brought back his brother Lot and his substance, and the women also, and the people. He brought back all the substance, signifies that the interior man reduced all things in the external man into a state of agreement, and also brought back his brother Lot and his substance, signifies the external man and all the things belonging to it. The women and the people signifies both goods and truths. 1717. And he brought back all the substance. That this signifies that the interior man reduced all things in the external man into a state of agreement may be seen from the signification of bringing back all the substance. The substance here is what Chedorlaomer and the kings with him took from their enemies, as told in what goes before. By Chedorlaomer and the kings with him are signified the goods and truths of the exterior man. The substance they took from their enemies was nothing else but their being deprived of the power of doing evil and thinking falsity, which was signified by the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah and by all the food which they took, treated of above at verse 11. This matter is of such a nature that it cannot be set forth in few words, but what here follows may be sufficient to give some notion of it. He who is in the combats of temptations and overcomes acquires to himself more and more power over the evil spirits or over the diabolical crew, till at last they dare not tempt at all. But as often as victory is gained, so often the Lord reduces into order the goods and truths from which the combat was waged, and so often are they thus purified. And so far as they are purified, so far are the celestial things of love insinuated into the exterior man, and a correspondence is effected. These are the things that are signified by bringing back all the substance. He who supposes that the external man can be reduced into correspondence without combats of temptations is mistaken. For temptations are the means of dissipating evils and falsities, as also of introducing goods and truths, and of reducing the things which are of the external man into obedience, so that it may serve the interior or rational man, and through this the internal, That is, the Lord operating through the internal man. That these things are affected by temptations, no one can know but he who has been regenerated through temptations. But how this is done can scarcely be described even in the most general manner, since it is done without the man knowing whence and how. For it is the Lord's divine operation. 1718. And also brought back his brother Lot and his substance. That this signifies the external man and all that belongs to it is evident from the signification of Lot, which is the external man, as has been stated several times before. What the external man is scarcely known at this day, for it is thought that only that which belongs to the body constitutes the external man, as the faculties of sense, namely, the touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight, and also the appetites and pleasures. But these constitute the outermost man, which is merely corporeal. The scientifics that belong to the memory and the affections that belong to the love with which the man has been imbued properly constitute the external man. Also those faculties of sense which properly belong to the spirit, together with the pleasures that the spirit enjoys. That these properly constitute the external or exterior man is evident from men in the other life or from spirits. These similarly possess an external man, and also an interior man, and, consequently, an internal man. The body is only, as it were, a covering or shell, which is dissolved in order that the man may truly live, and that all things belonging to him may become more excellent. 1719. The women and the people. That this signifies both goods and truths may be seen from the signification of wives and of daughters as being what is good, spoken of before, number 489 to 491, 568, 915. Here the word women is used instead of wives and daughters. And from the signification of people as being truth, also explained before, number 1259, 1260. 1720, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from smiting Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh. This is the king's valley. The king of Sodom went out to meet him, signifies that the evil and falsity submitted themselves. After his return from smiting Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, signifies the liberation and vindication of the apparent goods and truths. At the valley of Shaveh, this is the king's valley. Signifies the state of the external man as to goods and truths at that time. 1721. The king of Sodom went out to meet him. That this signifies that the evil and falsity submitted themselves is evident from the signification of the king of Sodom as being the evil and falsity against which was the combat. And from the signification of going out to meet, as being to submit oneself. The king of Sodom is here spoken of because the fact that evil and falsity submitted themselves occurs here in the series. But he is specially treated of in verse 21, which follows. 1722. After his return from smiting Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. That this signifies the liberation and vindication of the apparent goods and truths is evident from the things which precede, and from what was said above concerning Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. 1723. At the valley of Shaveh, this is the king's valley. That this signifies the state of the external man as to goods and truths at that time may be seen from the signification of the valley of Shaveh and also of the king's valley. The valley of Shaveh signifies the goods of the external man, and the king's valley signifies the truths of the same. The external man is called a valley from the fact that it is below. That which is more external is also lower, as that which is more internal is also higher. That a king signifies truth has been said before. Number 1672. 1724, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest to God Most High. Melchizedek signifies the celestial things of the interior man in the Lord. King of Salem signifies a state of peace as to the interior or rational things. Brought forth bread signifies celestial things and the refreshment from them. And wine signifies spiritual things and the refreshment from them. And he was priest signifies the holy of love. To God Most High signifies the internal man, which is Yahuwah. 1725. Melchizedek. That this signifies the celestial things of the interior man in the Lord may be seen from the signification of the name Melchizedek, to be explained presently, and also from the things that precede and from those which follow. What the internal man is, and what the interior man, and what the external, has been sufficiently shown above. Also, that the internal man flows in through the interior man into the external. As also that the internal man flows into the interior either by celestial things or by spiritual things. By celestial things with every regenerate man, that is, with those who live in love to the Lord and in love towards the neighbor. But by spiritual things with every man, whatever his quality may be. Thence is his light from heaven, that is, his ability to think and speak, and to be a man. On this subject, see what was said before, number 1707. The celestial things of the interior man are all those which belong to celestial love, as has often been said before. These celestial things in the Lord's interior man, or the Lord's interior man as to these celestial things, is called Melchizedek. The internal man in the Lord was Yahuwah himself. The interior man, when purified after the combats of temptations, was also made divine and Yahuwah. In like manner also the external. But now, when the interior man was in the state of the combats of temptation, and was not yet much purified by the combats of the temptations, it is called as to the celestial things Melchizedek, that is, King of Holiness and Righteousness. That this is really so may also be seen in David, where the Lord's combats of temptations are in like manner treated of. And at last his interior man as to celestial things is called Melchizedek. Thus in David, Yahuwah said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yahuwah shall send forth the scepter of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people are willing offerings in the day of thy might, in honors of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy birth. Yahuwah hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after my word Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand smote through kings in the day of his anger. Psalm 110, verses 1 to 5. Here the Lord's combats of temptations with the hells are treated of, as in the chapter before us, as may be seen from every word. That the Lord is here treated of, he himself teaches. See Matthew 22, verses 41 to 43, Mark 12, verse 36, Luke 20, verses 42 to 44. To make his enemies his footstool, to rule in the midst of his enemies, the day of might, to smite kings in the day of his anger, signify the combats of temptations and victories. 1726. King of Salem. That this signifies a state of peace as to interior or rational things is evident from the signification of Salem. In the original language, Salem means peace and also perfection. Thus it signifies a state of peace and a state of perfection. A state of peace is the state of the Lord's kingdom. In that state, the Lord's celestial and spiritual things are as in their morning and in their spring. For peace is like the dawn in the early morning and like the spring in the springtime. The dawn and the spring cause all things that then meet the senses to be full of joy and gladness. Every object draws an affection from the general one of the dawn and of the springtime. So it is with the state of peace in the Lord's kingdom. In the state of peace, all celestial and spiritual things are, as it were, in their morning or springtide flower and smile. That is, in their happiness itself. So does the state of peace affect everything. For the Lord is peace itself. This is signified by Salem also in David. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. Psalm 76, verses 1 and 2. When a man is in the combats of temptations, he is by turns gifted by the Lord with a state of peace and is thus refreshed. A state of peace is here signified by Salem, and presently also by the bread and wine, by which celestial and spiritual things are signified. Thus a state of celestial and spiritual things in peace, which state is refreshment itself. 1727. Brought forth bread and wine. That to bring forth bread signifies celestial things and refreshment from them, and to bring forth wine signifies spiritual things and refreshment from them, is evident from the signification of bread as being what is celestial, spoken of number 276, 680. And from the signification of wine, as also of the vine and the vineyard, as being what is spiritual, explained in number 1069, 1071. And because bread signifies celestial things, and wine spiritual things, they were made symbols also in the Holy Supper. That Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine has here a similar signification. For bread in the ancient church was the representative of all celestial things, and wine the representative of all spiritual things. Thus hear of the Lord himself, from whom is all that is celestial and all that is spiritual. 1:7-8. And he was priest. That this signifies the holy of love is evident from the signification of priest in the word. There are two things which are predicated of the Lord, namely, that he is king and that he is priest. A king, or the royalty, signifies holy truth, and a priest, or the priesthood, signifies holy good. The former is the divine spiritual, the latter the divine celestial. The Lord as king governs each and all things in the universe from divine truth, and as priest from divine good. Divine truth is the very order of his universal kingdom, all the laws of which are truths or eternal verities. Divine good is the very essential of order, all things of which are of mercy. Both of these are predicated of the Lord. If divine truth alone were his, no mortal could be saved, for truths condemn everyone to hell. But divine good, which is of mercy, uplifts from hell to heaven. These are what the kings and priests in the Jewish church represented, and these likewise Melchizedek represented as king of Salem and priest to God Most High. 1:7-9. To God Most High. That this signifies the internal man, which is Yahuwah, is evident from what has been said already several times concerning the Lord's internal man, that it is Yahuwah himself, and thus that the Lord is the same as Yahuwah the Father, as he himself says in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. Philip saith, Show us the Father. Jesus saith unto him, Am I so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 14:6-8-11. It is the Lord's human essence which is called the Son of Man, which also, after the combats of the temptations, was united to his divine essence, so that it was itself also made Yahuwah. Wherefore in heaven they know no other Yahuwah the Father than the Lord. See above, number 15. With the Lord all is Yahuwah. Not only his internal and his interior man, but also the external man and the very body. And therefore he alone rose into heaven with the body also, as is sufficiently evident in the Gospels where his resurrection is treated of, as also from the words of the Lord himself. Wherefore do thoughts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Luke 24:38-40. Verse 19. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram to God Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth. And he blessed him signifies the enjoyment of celestial and spiritual things. And said, Blessed be Abram to God Most High, signifies the Lord's interior man, that it came into the enjoyment of goods from his internal man, possessor of the heavens and the earth, signifies the conjunction of the internal man, or Yahuwah, with the interior and the exterior man. 1731. He blessed him. That this signifies the enjoyment of celestial and spiritual things may be seen from the signification of blessing as being to enjoy all goods. See number 981, 1096. Those are in the enjoyment of all goods who enjoy celestial and spiritual goods, for all goods of whatever name are from these. The things which are contained in this verse declare and proclaim the conjunction of the Lord's human essence with his divine essence. The blessing itself involves this. 1732. Blessed be Abram to God Most High. That this signifies the Lord's interior man, that it came into the enjoyment of goods from his internal man, is in like manner evident from the signification of blessing as being the enjoyment of goods, as before said. Also from the signification of Abram here as being the interior or rational man, treated of above at verse 13. And also from the signification of God Most High, as being the Lord's internal, which subject also has been treated of before. By Abram, as before said, is signified the interior or rational man, which is to be united to the internal man or Yahuwah, and this by the combats of temptations and victories. For with the interior man, the case is as follows. The interior man, as before said, is intermediate between the internal and the external man, and enables the internal man to flow into the external. For without the interior man, there is no communication. There is thus effected a communication of celestial and spiritual things. When the communication was of celestial things, the interior man was called Melchizedek. But when there is a communication of spiritual things, it is called Abram the Hebrew. 1733. Possessor of the heavens and the earth. This signifies the conjunction of the internal man or Yahuwah with the interior and the exterior man, as appears from the signification of heaven and earth. That which is interior in man is called heaven, and that which is exterior is called earth. The reason why heaven signifies that which is interior in man is that a man as to his interiors is an image of heaven, and so is a kind of little heaven. Primarily, the Lord's interior man is heaven, because the Lord is the all in all of heaven, and thus is heaven itself. It follows from this that the exterior man is called the earth. For the same reason also, by the new heavens and the new earth, spoken of in the prophets and in the Apocalypse, nothing else is meant than the Lord's kingdom, and everyone who is a kingdom of the Lord, or in whom the Lord's kingdom is. That heaven and earth signify these things may be seen, as to heaven, number 82, 911, and as to earth, number 82, 620, 636, 913. That here God Most High, possessor of the heavens and the earth, signifies the conjunction in the Lord of the internal man with the interior and exterior man, may be seen from the fact that as to his internal man, the Lord was Yahuwah himself. And because the internal man or Yahuwah led and instructed the external as a father his son, therefore, relatively to Yahuwah, he is called, as to the external man, the Son of God. But relatively to the mother, he is called the Son of Man. The Lord's internal man, which is Yahuwah himself, is what is here called God Most High. And before plenary conjunction or union was effected, it is called possessor of the heavens and earth. That is, possessor of all things which are in the interior and the exterior man. For these, as before said, are here meant by the heavens and the earth. Verse 20. And blessed be God Most High, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Blessed be God Most High signifies the Lord's internal man. Who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand signifies victory. And he gave him tithes of all, signifies remains derived from victory. 1735. Blessed be God Most High. That this signifies the Lord's internal man is evident from the things which were said just above concerning the internal man. In the ancient church, Yahuwah was called God Most High, for the reason that height represented and therefore signified what is internal, and thus Most High signified what is inmost. Hence the worship of the ancient church was upon high places, mountains, and hills. The inmost also has the same relation to the exterior and the outermost as the highest bears to the lower and the lowest. The Most High, or the inmost, is the celestial of love, or love itself. Yahuwah, or the Lord's internal man, was the very celestial of love, that is, love itself, to which no other attributes are fitting than those of pure love. Thus of pure mercy towards the whole human race, which is such that it wills to save all and make them happy to eternity, and to bestow on them all that it has. Thus out of pure mercy to draw all who are willing to follow to heaven, that is, to itself, by the strong force of love. This love itself is Yahuwah. Of nothing can am or is be predicated except of love. From this love, because in love or of love itself, is the very being, esse, of all life, that is, life itself. And because Yahuwah alone is the being, esse, of life or life itself, as he alone is love, each and all things have thence their being and their life. Nor can anyone be and live of himself except Yahuwah alone, that is, the Lord alone. And as no one can be and live of himself except the Lord alone, it is a fallacy of sense that men seem to themselves to live of themselves. The angels plainly perceive that they do not live of themselves, but from the Lord, since they live in the very being of the Lord's life, because in his love. But yet to them above all others, there is given the appearance as of living from themselves, together with ineffable happiness. This, therefore, is to live in the Lord, which is never possible unless we live in his love, that is, in charity towards the neighbor. 1736. That the Lord is Yahuwah, who is here called God Most High, is plainly evident from the word in Isaiah. Yahuwah Zebaoth is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth is he called. 54 verse 5. Here it is plain that the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, who is the Lord alone, is Yahuwah Zebaoth, and the God of the whole earth. Again, thus said Yahuwah thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahuwah thy God. 48, verse 17. Again, I do help thee, saith Yahuwah, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. 41, verse 14. The expressions, the Holy One of Israel and the God of Israel, occur many times. That the Lord is the Holy One of Israel and the God of Israel is clearly evident in that they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the substance of heaven for clearness. Exodus 24, verse 10. No other was acknowledged and called Yahuwah by the Jewish church, for it worshipped the one God Yahuwah. And this was the more fully the case for the reason, which was unknown to most of them, that all the rites of that church represented the Lord, and all the things of the word in the internal sense were significative of him. In Isaiah, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord Yahweh will wipe away the tear from off all faces. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahuwah, we have waited for him. Let us exult and be glad in his salvation. 25, verses 8 and 9. This treats of the coming of the Lord. In the same, Behold, the Lord Yahweh will come in strength, and his arm shall rule for him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the little lambs in his arm. He shall carry them in his bosom. He shall lead the sucklings. 40, verses 10 and 11. Here the Lord is plainly spoken of, who is the Lord Yahweh. That he shall come in strength and his arm rule for him signifies that he would conquer the hells by his own power. To feed his flock, gather the little lambs in his arm, carry them in his bosom, and lead the sucklings, are predicated of his love or mercy. Again, thus said Yahuwah that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it. He created it not in emptiness. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahuwah, and there is none else. Am not I Yahuwah, and there is no God else besides me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. 45, verses 18, 21, and 22. Here the Lord is manifestly spoken of as being alone Yahuwah and God, that to create the heavens and form the earth is to regenerate. Thus that the creator of heaven and earth is the regenerator may be seen above at number 16, 88, 472, and elsewhere. And therefore the Lord is often called the Creator, Former, and Maker. Again, Thou art our Father, for Abraham knoweth us not, and Israel doth not acknowledge us. Thou, O Yahuwah, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. 43, verse 16. Here the Lord is plainly meant, who alone is the Redeemer. in Moses. Take heed of his face and hear his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not bear your transgression. For my name is in the midst of him. Exodus 23, verse 21. That name means essence, see above, number 144, 145. And in the midst means the inmost, number 1074. In Isaiah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, God, Hero, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. 9, verse 6. This is plainly said of the Lord. In Jeremiah, behold, the days come that I will raise unto David a righteous offshoot, and he shall reign a king, and shall act intelligently, and shall do judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in confidence. And this is his name, whereby they shall call him Yehovah our righteousness. 23, verses 5 and 6. This plainly means the Lord. In Zechariah, Yehovah shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Yehovah, and his name one. 14, verse 9. This plainly speaks of the Lord. The name denotes the essence. 1737. Who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand? That this signifies victory may be seen without explanation. The conjunction of the human essence with the divine essence was procured and effected by the Lord by continual combats of temptations and victories, and this from his own power. He who apprehends the mode of the conjunction and union in any other way is much mistaken. By this he became righteousness. The conjunction or union was effected with the celestial of love, that is, with love itself, which, as before said, is Yehovah. The conjunction of men with the Lord is also affected by temptations and by the implanting of faith in love. Unless faith is implanted in love, that is, unless a man by the things of faith receives the life of faith, that is, charity, there is no conjunction. This alone is to follow him, namely to be conjoined with the Lord, just as the Lord, as to his human essence, was conjoined with Yahweh. Hence also all such are called sons of God, from the Lord who was the only Son of God, and hence they become images of him. 1738. And he gave him tithes of all. That this signifies remains derived from victory is evident from the signification of tithes as being remains, spoken of before, number 576. But what remains are may be seen above, number 468, 530, 560, 561, 661, 1050. Namely, that they are all the states of love and charity, and, consequently, all the states of innocence and peace with which a man is gifted. These states are given to man from infancy, but less by degrees as the man advances into adult age. But when a man is being regenerated, he then receives new remains also, besides the former, thus new life. For it is from remains or by remains that a man is a man. For without the state of love and charity, and without the state of innocence, which states insinuate themselves into the other states of his life, a man is not a man, but is worse than any wild beast. The remains acquired in the combats of temptations are those which are here meant. These remains are what are signified by the tithes given to Melchizedek by Abram, and they are all the celestial things of love which the Lord procured to himself by the continual combats and victories, by which he was continually being united to his divine essence, until his human essence in like manner became love, or the being, esse, of life. That is, Yahuwah.